My name is Denise White, and I am the host of the Coffee in the Green Room podcast. Here in Coffee in the Green Room, we have those conversations you may not have on stage, but we have behind the scenes before you take the stage. Today, I am so excited to have Mauro Campagnaro on the podcast.
Thank you.
Mauro, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Denise. Very nice. Thank you very much for inviting me. I appreciate
it. You're welcome. Yeah. So tell us just a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I'm Canadian. And grew up in British Columbia, and then I was taken to Alberta through a job transfer, and I spent probably the better part of 30 years in consumer packaged goods.
Wow.
Just where I worked for some of the multinationals that you probably recognize, a lot of the brand names, and in the grocery store and the other sectors of the market. And just through that experience, I was able to venture out on my own in 2007, and I decided to become an entrepreneur and do it on my own.
Nice.
I had created enough wealth and resources to be able to do it at that time. And so I decided, you know what, I'm just going to go out and try this on my own. And I always had that desire to be an entrepreneur. I think that came from my parents. And so at that point, I naively got into the business on that side. Because as a distributor in the business, the margin squeeze is tremendous.
Okay, tell me what margin squeeze is, in case my listeners don't know.
Well, you know, you're buying product basically, and that at that point it was the natural product space was growing tremendously, and so you know you go to trade shows, you have these products that come to me, and they were asking for distribution in Canada. And so you're purchasing a product, and sometimes you're participating with them on marketing, and the marketing funds are quite expensive in the grocery business overall. And
yeah, it's so competitive because everyone wants the eyeballs when people are in the grocery stores.
Correct. Yeah, and so you know you're getting squeezed on that side because they're wanting to obviously hold their margin steady.
Yeah.
You're trying to distribute and make sure your costs are good as you distribute this product out to the market. And we ended up being national, got right across the country, got into some big chains. And then my wife at the time decided that she didn't want to be on the journey anymore. So at that point, I had gone for about 5 years, and the cards were stacked way too thin.
Yeah.
And they were against me because I was pushing hard to get to that critical mass. Once you get to critical mass, you're good. But we just weren't there yet. And end of the day, it was probably the best experience and the worst experience at the same time.
Okay, go a little bit more into that. The best and the worst experience.
Yeah, because I was able to take on a couple more years, and boy, you can sure. You sure know what you're made up of when you start doing that kind of stuff, and you're just struggling every single minute of the day trying to stay afloat. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of entrepreneurs today in my work now that I can just see them where they're positioned, where they're at in that evolution of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, it's amazing that the more people you talk to, the more you make connections with people. And I was connected to this other individual that I call him an angel at the point of that time that he was introduced to me through our mutual IT person.
Oh, wow.
Believe it or not. And it was funny that I actually met him on a plane heading down to a trade show. We were sitting on the tarmac for 2 hours. Him and I got talking, and we just had a great conversation. And we could see that we were both aligned in terms of our goals and what we were doing. And just after that conversation, basically, that was the point in time where I made a phone call. We had a conversation. He said, look, I'm going to buy your business from you. You come into my business. I said, great, okay. So he helped me out of my situation. As we went down the conversations that we had during the first year or so, he could see that, and I'm not trying to boast, but the intellectual capital that I had brought forward from all of the time I spent with those multinational companies, he was missing.
Yeah.
And so he said, listen, you got carte blanche now, fix this place, he says.
Wow.
Because they were struggling too, and it's a tough business, and you had to, you know, every single day watch what you're spending. So as I went through every single department and every enabler within the business, you got the marketing, you got ops, you got sales, And I just said one thing. I said, listen, you want to bring in good talent, let's pay them a little bit more.
There's a novel idea.
100%.
Pay the talent more, a little bit more, so you get good talent. The best talent is what
Correct.
You want.
Yeah, I mean, it's a formula at the end of the day. And then as I started to really micromanage a little bit and start to put some SOPs in place, standard operating procedures, some real technical stuff that really got to the bottom line is, okay, we buy a product, we add some profit to our profit margin in there. What are we spending against that? And can we stay within those margins?
Okay.
And that was the finite piece that took us from a negative profit to a positive profit. And in 4 years, we were able to grow that business national, and we grew it from $17 million to almost $40 million and doubled our profits.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it was an amazing, amazing trip. And that's why I say, yeah, you know, you think something's a negative, but if you turn it to a positive and all of a sudden life happens and you have these opportunities, well, what did that opportunity do for me?
Yeah.
It allowed me to learn a lot about me. And you know, I had an HR lady at the end of the day, and she kind of, you know, dusted me off a little bit and said, soften your touch.
Yeah.
Because I was, you know, at some point you had to be a little bit hard with people because you were changing things.
Yeah, people don't like change. And whenever you're bringing change to an organization, like,
Correct.
You have to be firm, but you definitely need that soft touch to kind of let people know, okay, you know what, this is for your good in the long run.
Correct. That's right. And I'm glad you said that because people don't like change.
Yes.
And so we lost some people, but we gained some really good people. And the end of the day, it's all about team.
Yeah.
And we had one of the best teams. Our company became one of the most recognized, I think, growing distribution companies in Canada.
That's amazing.
And we got a good reputation. We just started dialing in on getting good listings and driving volume, and it was a good run.
We talked about offline was about how you develop that sense of team through kind of a lot of times in corporations or just in organizations in general, like you have the admin team, you have the sales, you have marketing, you have like all of these silos.
Correct.
Can you talk about how you recreated the culture to make it where it was a team versus a bunch of players trying to go in the same direction?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, through that whole change system that we did there, basically going from, you know, where we were, which was everybody was lurking in a silo.
Mm-hmm.
And sales didn't know what ops was doing, and everyone was blaming everybody for what was happening that was going wrong.
Yeah.
And so as we started to build out the team, I made sure that everybody was talking to everybody because everybody had a piece of the puzzle that they had to bring forward so that the next department could execute on their piece. And as we started to do that, all of a sudden there was a cohesive And I, you know, it's basically systems. At the end of the day, you have to have a system to grow and expand and scale a company.
Yeah.
And so as we built the system out, that's what was really uniting everybody. And I always wanted to have a team environment. When I brought people into the boardroom and we were talking about things, it was always more of a, you know, let's get everybody understanding what the other party's doing. Because if you don't understand what's happening from another person's perspective in another team, you don't really understand how they're going to fit and change your world and help you do your job.
Yeah. Right? And there's no I in team. I remember growing up, that's something we were always taught. There's no I in team.
Yeah.
And it's so true. Like when you have that communication going on, all of a sudden everyone's moving in the same direction for the same good. And I love that you created that culture.
Yeah.
And you exited that company. Talk about the exit of that company.
Yeah. Let me qualify. I did. I was the instrumental piece, but it was a team effort.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that there are people in that company that really devoted a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
I might have steered the ship in the right direction, but everybody else was on the team. We were all going the right direction. So there's no I in team.
Yeah.
I started it, but it was the end of the day. We all finished it, right?
And you know, I love like that. For me, that's an example of a great leader.
Yeah.
Because great leaders want their team to get the credit as well. And I love that you just said that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's 100%. So what happened? The phone rang and this gentleman called me up out of the blue. I honestly thought he wanted to take an order. I said, look, I'll patch you through to the front desk. And he goes, no, I'm making you a job offer. I said, pardon me? I said, let me close my door. So I closed my door And he basically was, there was another company that was looking for a vice president to run their company, basically build them from the floor up. And it was interesting to, I did take the offer, and I went there because I thought, you know what, life's very short, and if your opportunities show up, why not?
Yeah.
You know, again, another pivotal moment where I had, I naively went there as well, not knowing that we didn't align in terms of the strategic alignment of how do we get to market, and what's the time frame to get to market.
Yeah.
So there was a misalignment as to how successful we would be immediately, because it's a very, very long sales cycle in that business. And so I parted ways with that company. And then I took about probably close to 2 years to rediscover who I was and what I wanted to do.
Wow.
And I had the opportunity to do that. And I said, you know what, at the end of the day, I was so interested in finance. I was so interested in this space that I'm at. And I knew that I had the certain skills that were different from everybody else who did this. And I did the securities course in 1999. And I wanted to do this type of role at that point. But, you know, back then it was full-time or no-time. And yeah. I just couldn't do it at that point in my life, because I was just starting out, I had a family started, and we were just getting off the ground. I thought, you know, I can't just go. And at that point, it's 100% commission, right?
Yeah.
So you're commissioned.
A lot of uncertainty with commission.
Yeah, just too much uncertainty. And my mindset wasn't right.
Yeah.
And mindset's very important.
Yes.
Because mindset will take you places. So at that point, then I started then exploring this space again. I can't remember exactly how I got involved, but I got involved with this other gentleman that him and I shared stories, and his story really resonated with me. And I thought, I like this person. I really liked what his message was. And he brought me in, and I jumped on board, and we went ahead with learning this space.
Yeah.
So I had to go back, get educated again a little bit, and then started just doing this business all over again. Fast forward to this stage now where I've gone completely independent on my own, and I've got a couple of people on the team right now. We're about four or five of us now, and we are more of a boutique, I would say, boutique planning outfit, I want to call myself, I think, where, okay. You know, it's there's a lot of advisors out there that they focus on one thing or the other, but they don't package it all together. And so when I take on a client, and because of the background that I have as an entrepreneur, I'm able to speak from a different level, I think.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the platform of my success, is that when I take on a client, I can see that either I'm dealing with an individual and they've got their goals and their challenges, and I know I can do what I can with an individual. The individual says, I also run a business. Well, there's a whole other conversation, right?
Yeah.
Or now I can help them with their business. And then, you know, you and I were talking the other day. I was like, well, I see all these entrepreneurs. They spend so much time and energy on that business.
Yeah, they throw everything they have into the business.
That's right.
Like they're 40, 80 hours, like 89, I mean, so many hours a week.
Yep.
They pour their resources into the business. I see this all the time with entrepreneurs. Every penny that they earn goes back into the business.
That's right.
But at some point, they're like, burnout, I'm broke. Even the business may be great, but the entrepreneur is like broke, and you help to alleviate that.
Correct. Yeah. Whatever I can do. But I lived their quote unquote nightmare.
Yeah.
I know exactly where their pain points are, because I call it blood, sweat, and tears.
Mm-hmm. Literally,
and
sometimes.
A lot of cash to get up and running. And so every single entrepreneur has the same issues. Well, how do we alleviate those issues? So with the financial tools that I have, that gives me the strength and the competitive advantage to come in and actually help them with some of the tools that they're probably not even aware of.
Yeah.
That they can become their own banker. They don't even have to go to the bank. Just some tweaks. But then I also say, listen, you got this company, and a lot of entrepreneurs, they think, well, I'm gonna build this thing and it's gonna be my retirement package. Mm-hmm. So when I say, what's your exit strategy? they kind of look at me dumbfounded, like, what does that mean?
You mean I'm putting my baby up for adoption?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's kind of the way a lot of entrepreneurs probably feel.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so we go, well, exit strategy. When you say exit strategy, have you considered all the tax implications? Because the tax man is going to take a lot of that business away from you when you think you've got this amount.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you end up with this amount.
Yeah.
And it's already happened in my career that I've been doing this so far. I've seen this. And just a couple of tweaks in terms of what are the financial mechanisms and tools we can do and how do we restructure sometimes the way the organization is set up.
Yeah.
So we got operating company, mm-hmm. we got holding company.
Yeah.
What are we doing with those? And how are we structuring that? So I'll bring in the team, I'll bring in accountants, I'll bring lawyers in to restructure. And then with the financial tools, we'll add those financial tools in there so that they can obviously prosper, not give it all away when they actually do exit. And they're pulling that extra money that's left in the corporation out for themselves.
Yeah.
Because too many times I see the balance sheet, it's like, okay, you got your business going. But what's here for yourself? I see nothing here.
Yeah.
So, well, what are you doing? Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
I know you wanted to do something. It was exciting to you. And that was what you wanted to do. And then there comes realization is, why am I still doing this when I've got nothing for myself? Mm-hmm. We're all like that. All entrepreneurs are just like that.
I interview so many entrepreneurs and so many times. It's like, they're so passionate. Like you said, they're so passionate about... And I like to call the business the baby because, you know, like when 100%. You're in there, it's like you're nurturing it, you're watching it grow, you're celebrating the first steps, you're celebrating all of these things.
That's right.
But eventually, you do need to think about yourself because you've, a lot of entrepreneurs, most entrepreneurs, they're in this because they're changing lives. What about your own life as well?
Correct, yeah. When you said baby, I was thinking of Shark Tank. Yeah. So if you watch Shark Tank.
Oh, I love Shark Tank.
And you see all these entrepreneurs and they're up there and they're going, well, I'm not sure if I want to give away, 10% of my company. You know, this is the thing is it's, yes, it's your baby today, but is it your baby tomorrow? Because if you could get a shark on your team and it's going to cost you a little bit of your company, and if they take you from zero to hero and then you exit with way more than you could have done on your own, then isn't that a good spend, so to speak?
Yeah.
And then let's get on to the next baby.
Exactly.
Right? So we're so married to the thing we started.
Yeah.
And when we do business just ebbs and flows, and you don't know where the next good business idea is going to come from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Listen, Mark Cuban, if you're ever watching this, come talk to us. We're willing to give you 25%.
And Mr. Wonderful.
At a much bigger.
Yeah.
Or Kevin Harrington, any of you guys. We're here for you guys. That's awesome. I love that. So what is something that you're working on right now that you are most proud of that just gets you fired up?
I think working with entrepreneurs, like I said, and that's just, it is my space. And if I can help them even restructure their businesses and help them navigate what they're currently doing, just because of the experience I have, and now that I have that experience, having gone through restructuring a company and scaling that company, I have that experience. So I can come with a different view and a different angle of how to look at different things that they may not have considered, right?
Yeah.
So that's the business consulting side of the business. But then when I bring the business consulting side, I've already got the financial tools to say, hey, you know what? Maybe we can add these financial tools in here that will help you scale as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, for my audience listening, where can they find you if they want your help? If they're like, okay, you know what? I'm an entrepreneur and I need Mauro's help. How can they find you?
Yeah. So.
Oh my gosh. Yes. You co-authored a book with Brian Tracy.
I did co-author a book with Brian Tracy. And we're down here now. We just did an interview yesterday with Brian Tracy. It was fantastic. So that's one place you can find me is look up Brian Tracy co-authors. Then you can also Google my name and my website is my first name at campignorowealth.ca.
Awesome.
That's the website. Yeah.
Very good. Awesome. Well, congratulations on all of your success. Congratulations on being a co-author with Brian Tracy. That had to be really exciting for you.
It was amazing. I'm glad I got the opportunity because, you know, again, life's short and there's fewer years ahead.
Yeah.
So why not do it now and just take the opportunity to do something different? and expand. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. And thank you so much for taking time to be on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So if you're listening to this podcast, this is what I want you to do. Make sure you hit subscribe to Coffee in the Green Room podcast, because I have so many amazing interviews lined up. You do not want to miss one episode of Coffee in the Green Room.